Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm singer-songwriter Erin McKeown, in for John Schaefer, who's out on vacation this week. We've got a big show ahead. Husband and wife duo The Handsome Family is here to play some songs from their new album, Wilderness. And I'm happy to say that one of my musical blind spots will be no more after I learn all about the band Black Sabbath from a writer who calls himself a Sabbathologist. This is my second day of guest hosting Soundcheck, and I have to say I've gotten very comfortable here. Have me back. I've already got my routine. Come into the office, meet the staff, prep for guests, host interviews. It's all very structured. Pretty different from my normal day as a musician, where my schedule is totally up to me. The daily routines and habits of artists are at the heart of a new book called Daily Rituals, How Artists Work. Mason Curry is the author of that new book, and he joins me here in the studio. Hello, Mason.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Your book covers the daily habits of all sorts of famous artists, from choreographers to writers to musicians. Did you notice any consistent differences or similarities by field? I mean, do writers drink more? Do musicians pray more?
I think I did notice some similarities between writers and composers having a harder time disciplining themselves to the desk for long periods. A lot of their routines seem to be about figuring out ways to kind of avoid procrastination and blocks and kind of get that time in every day. A lot of the visual artists, by contrast, seem to have the opposite problem. They needed a routine to keep themselves from spending all day in the studio and to kind of get away from the work and, see their girlfriends or boyfriends and have a normal life.
I mean, I think that's the thing that defines in some ways the artist as opposed to the office worker. You're in charge of your own day in a certain way. And that's totally different than a 9-to-5 schedule. Or in some ways, is it not so much different? I mean, were you surprised at how rigid some of these routines were?
Yeah, there are a lot of people who really did treat their creative activity like a 9-to-5 day job. And, they needed that structure in order to kind of to get to work every day. Otherwise, they would kind of never get down to it. And then there are other people who were just kind of obsessed with their work. One of the composers in the book is George Gershwin, and he, his brother Ira, said that he always seemed kind of just obsessed and that you kind of couldn't get him away from the piano. He would sit down in the morning in his bathrobe and slippers and basically just keep at it for 12 hours a day. And even if he had to go out in the evening, he would sit back down at the piano when he came home after midnight.
I'm Erin McKeown, in for John Schaefer. I'm talking with Mason Curry, the author of the new book, Daily Rituals, How Artists Work. Listeners, do you have a set daily routine for your creative work? Call us and leave a voicemail about it, 866-939-1612. Mason, why do you think habit, as opposed to maybe even rigidity or structure, but why is habit so important for creativity?
I think that, a lot of artists have talked about how it kind of trains your brain to get into this creative mindset on a daily basis. You know, there's something about knowing that you're going to do this every day at a certain time that lets you get into a kind of daily creative rhythm, I think, for a lot of people. A lot of people find that if they wait for inspiration to strike, it may never strike, and that having a routine is a way to kind of guarantee some sort of creative activity or kind of make sure you get into this mindset on a regular basis.
Let's actually talk to a caller. I'm so excited. This is my friend Natalia Zuckerman on the line. Natalia, you there?
Yeah, hi.
Natalia is a singer and songwriter and painter based in Brooklyn and also a close friend of mine, full disclosure. I want to ask you this first. Do you have a set routine that you follow for creativity, for creating, and then follow that up? How do you divide it between music and painting? You have thriving careers in both.
I don't really have a set routine that much because my life is so much on the road. I think one thing that I definitely do every day is physically exercise because otherwise, everything is just kind of head space and cloud space, so I have to really try to ground it that way.
Now, you grew up in a household where both your parents were artists. Your father is the violinist Pincus Zukerman, and your mother is the writer and flautist Eugenia Zukerman. I'm curious, like, growing up as a small fry in that house, like, did you notice mm-hmm. that they had routines as artists? And then as you became an artist later in life, was there something that you could point to that you learned or picked up from, or even specifically that they told you, daughter, here's how to be an artist?
Yeah, I think definitely forcing classical music on me as a child, practicing. I played violin as a kid and pretty much hated it from day three. But the discipline of practicing every day was definitely passed down to me. And if a day goes by where I haven't been disciplined, they're in my little army of people sitting by saying, you should really apply your ass to the chair, as my grandfather used to say.
Right. Before we let you go, let me just ask you, what's the routine today?
Today is a little different because I'm leaving for 3 weeks. So this morning was everything fabulous, from making sure all my bills were paid to returning something to a store and cleaning out my car. It was not the creative morning I would generally have.
Good luck, my friend. I'll see you later.
Thank you, Karen.
That's Natalia Zukerman, painter and singer-songwriter based in Brooklyn. Mason, Natalia was talking about today, she, you know, paid some bills and had to take care of stuff around the house and cleaned out her car. Like, what's the role of the mundane in the artist? You know, Steve Reich, for example, talks about he spends his mornings doing business.
Yeah, that's right. He did. And, you know, I think that the mundane can be useful in some ways. Another interesting story was about Tchaikovsky had a sort of compulsion that he had to clear his desk or his ledger of any kind of mundane chores or business work before he could sit down to compose. And I think that seems to be true of a lot of people. You need to kind of create some kind of mental space or carve out some kind of time where you can concentrate on that one task. And often that means taking care of all that other stuff first.
Guest here is Mason Curry, the author of the new book, Daily Rituals, How Artists Work. I'm Erin McKeown, in for John Schaefer on Soundcheck. Mason, a lot of artists in the book talk about coffee, sugar, drugs, alcohol as aids to their creativity. Can you make their, as you know, I'm someone who abstains from everything on that list, actually.
Okay.
And I'm curious if there's an argument that can be made for or against creativity as being aided significantly by these things. My personal experience is, obviously, I prefer it without. But there's plenty of stories of people who need it.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you were going to make a case for anything, it would be for coffee, because that comes up over and over and over in the book. Beethoven believed that the perfect cup of coffee had 60 coffee beans, and he would count them out one by one for the precise dose in the morning before getting started at his work. And there were just like story after story of all these coffee making and coffee drinking rituals. Although I think some of it is actually the ritual of making the coffee as much as the actual caffeine that sort of gets you into this mood or state of mind.
Right, and if you're going to have some kind of ritual in the morning, like mm-hmm. that's probably the least harmful,
I guess.
You know, Gertrude Stein had an interesting quote in your book where it said she was nervous about being nervous,
yeah.
and the coffee didn't help that.
Yeah,
which I can totally relate to. That's the reason I don't do coffee. But what about drinking? Where does drinking fit in with all of this? Because there's a romantic notion of like the artist is this like, you know, laying on the floor passed out and then rolls over and writes something genius.
Yeah, I think that's mostly a myth. You know, most of the people in that I ran across, even the ones who are famously famous drinkers, did drink a great deal often, but they also usually carved out some part of the day for sober composition. There were very few stories that I found of people actually regularly working while drinking alcohol. They would work and maybe then immediately start drinking alcohol afterwards, but the few times I found people who would drink, it would be they would end up saying later that it had, you know, harmed their work.
What about drugs? Louis Armstrong, big weed smoker.
Yeah, he was a lifelong pot smoker. And also he was hooked on all these strange like herbal remedies. He had this special salve that he would apply to his lips before a show. And he was hooked on this this herbal laxative called Swiss Chris, which I think is still on the market today. And he would take it religiously, I think, before and after shows, and even recommended it to all his friends, and had this, like, really bizarre postcard printed up to give to friends to, you know, say he should check this out, of himself sitting on the toilet with this slogan that said, leave it all behind ya.
My days have grown so lonely, I've lost the one and only. My pride has been humbled, for I'm her body and soul. Oh, babe, I was a mere sensation.
That was Louis Armstrong, Body and Soul. Louis Armstrong, famous for his bathroom habits. Let's take a call right now. This is musician and composer Peter Buffett. Hello, Peter.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. We asked online for people to write in about their routines, and your routine was quite succinct. It was coffee.
Yes, all caps, I think.
Does that mean you'd had a lot of coffee?
It means that's the first thing that happens. The morning is definitely coffee-fueled, actually espresso-fueled.
And then is coffee part of the rest of your day of work? Like, how much do you, are you someone who spends the morning working and then the afternoon in some other endeavor, or does it spread out through the day?
It's usually, I think, what more of us do now every day, which is respond to other people's emails. So, in other words, people are sending you all these things they hope you'll respond to, and that's what your morning, my morning, is certainly taken up with, probably until at least noon or one or beyond, depending. And then do what I need to do, either for the musical work, foundation work, that sort of thing, in the afternoon. And then finally, in the evening, is usually when the true musical time happens.
Peter, you mentioned the way that our morning is taken up these days now with responding to electronic communication from folks.
Right.
Do you find that distracting to the rest of the day? Would you rather that at a different time of day? Do you feel pressure to do that at the early part of the day as opposed to the later part of the day?
Sort of. I mean, I feel like in one sense I want to get it out of the way so I can clear my brain for other things, but it will lead to distractions because, you know, one thing leads to another thought and then another one. And then so there are times when I purposely say, you know what, I'm not going to do it this morning. I'm going to focus on what I need to and then deal with it later. I think it's an ongoing adjustment we're all making to incoming email all night.
Which in some ways probably like, you know, there's probably some equivalent for Mozart. Mason, is that true?
Actually, Mozart's routine, there's a great letter he sent to his sister in the late 1700s describing his routine as kind of like a freelancer in Vienna. And he talks about how, you know, he spends his whole day rushing around to kind of entertain wealthy patrons and perform concerts and give piano lessons, and he can't finally get to his composing work until late at night, you know, maybe as late as midnight. So that actually sounds very similar to what a lot of people today deal with. It's amazing how contemporary his routine seems.
Peter, you have a very famous father, Warren Buffett. Has your father passed on any routines or creativity or advice to you around how to have a productive day?
Well, you know, he is so famously able to focus on what's important to him and not let other stuff, outside influences, bother him, you know, whether it's trends in tech or anything else. He sort of ignores the outside world, and he has shown me the value in that, you know, where you need to focus on yourself first and what you need to get through the day as opposed to get pulled off center by outside influences. And so, I have learned that from him, although I haven't perfected it yet.
This is musician and composer Peter Buffett. Thank you so much for calling in today, Peter.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take another call. This is another friend of mine, singer-songwriter Matt the Electrician. Matt, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Matt. Obviously, from your name, we can make the assumption that you've made a transition from someone who had a pretty set routine in one vocation to another, a less structured day, perhaps, as an artist. Is that true? Is that not true? What are the similarities in your day between being a master electrician and now a master songwriter?
Well, just to be clear, I was a journeyman electrician and not a master.
Small detail, I'm sorry.
I don't want to misrepresent myself at all. I know there's probably a lot of electricians listening. Yeah, it's definitely a less structured day now. Doing construction is just kind of nonstop, and I would usually get to the shop at about 6:30 in the morning and get back to the shop at the end of the day at about 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And you're pretty much just working that whole time. You get like half an hour, 45 minutes for lunch. But
You do have a really interesting routine now for creativity. If I'm right, you try to write a song a week. And how does that break up day by day?
Well, I write every day, but I have a song due once a week. And so ideally I'm working on that song every day, but sometimes I just, I'll just write every day and maybe the song doesn't get worked on. But the song's due every Wednesday before midnight. And so if I haven't been working on that song throughout the week, then if it's 11:45 on Wednesday and I haven't written something, I have to write and record an entire song. And I get it done every week. I haven't missed a week, on this go-around, which has been at least 6 months.
And some of those songs have made their way to your records and are quite fabulous, I must say. So whatever it is about the deadline and the routine, it turns into really great music. This is Matt, the Electrician, a singer-songwriter based in Austin, Texas. Thanks for calling in, Matt.
Absolutely. Thank you, Erin.
So, Mason, Matt was talking about these long days as a journeyman electrician. Are there other artists who translate that to their art? Are there artists who take 9 to 5 at a desk and consider their art like a job?
Yeah, a lot of people in the book actually work that way. That they treat, you think of artists as being these kind of reckless, dissolute people who wait for inspiration to strike. But so many people in the book really did treat it like a 9 to 5 day job. One person who springs to mind is John Updike. He compared his writing to a dentist drilling his teeth every morning. He kept an office, like on Main Street in a small town, and would go there every day and sit down at his desk and work for a set period of time, 3 or 4 or 5 hours, and then have lunch, and then he would kind of deal with his chores. And then that was it. It was very much a 9 to 5 job for him.
Yeah, there's another story in your book of Maya Angelou. She kept a hotel room.
Yeah.
As she said, the meanest, meaning average, the most average, the better, with like a bed, the Bible, and if she could have a washtub. But that was it. And she would go there and work.
Yeah, yeah. She said that she needed home to be very, a nice, she liked to have a nice home, and that she couldn't work in a nice home, that it threw her off. So she liked to keep these kind of anonymous hotel or motel rooms to go work in. And then she would do that for half the day, and then she would go back home and like take a shower and clear her mind and make dinner, and her husband would come home and she could have kind of a normal evening. But the creative work kind of happened in this like secret little hole in the wall place where she could go and be weird and be by herself.
I really actually love that story. Just imagine her going to a different motel, or I've been in some pretty interesting motel rooms myself and have found them to be actually good places, right, for that reason. They're sort of distinct from your everyday life. You, Mason, are a writer who wrote a book about writers and creative people. I'm curious what your routine is like.
I've always been a morning person. I find that if early in the morning, around sunrise, I have like a certain kind of brain power that I just don't have later in the day. I feel like part of it is almost being kind of tired and half awake. I feel like it's harder to procrastinate and be distracted, and it's easier to kind of focus on the writing. So working on this book, I was also working a full-time job as a magazine editor. So my routine was to get up at 5:30 every morning and work on the book for 2 hours, and then have breakfast with my wife and take a shower and ride the subway to work and have a normal 8 or 9 hour work day, and then hit the library a lot of evenings. And then the weekends were a little bit more flexible. But for me, it's really about those like 2 good hours first thing in the morning. Sometimes I get more done in that time than I do the entire rest of the day.
My guest today has been Mason Curry, the author of the new book, Daily Rituals, How Artists Work. Thank you so much, Mason.
Oh, thank you for having me. Every day.